Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm your host, Pastor Victor. Today, I'm going to show you how to become a goldsmith. Two things you need. Number one, you need a gold ore. It looks like a piece of rock, which it is, but if you see closely, you can see sparkles. These are gold particles embedded in the rock. So this gold ore contains two different composites. Number one, gold, the good stuff, and the rest, the ore, rock, useless stuff. Here's the thing, they are inseparable because in this normal condition, it's a piece of rock, a gold ore, but completely, utterly useless. However, a goldsmith would separate the two things apart, right? It is both, there's gold, there's the dross, there is the pure and the impure. There is worthy and worthless. And there is the valuable and the valueless, right? Now, here's how the goldsmith does it. Heat, baby. That's heat. Can you hear the sound? I can feel the heat. I'm not going to bring too close to my face because I'm going to burn all my hair. Oh, I don't have much. Now, here's what the goldsmith does. He would apply heat to the gold ore. Can you hear me? Ow! Ooh, that's hot. Pardon me. Now, how much heat does the goldsmith require to separate the gold from the dross? How much heat? Check this out. 1,046 degrees Celsius. That's how much heat, fire, you need to separate the gold from the dross, from the pure from the impure, the worthy from the worthless. Because heat separates the two. The both particles, the gold and the dross, they coexist. They're interwoven. It's one and the same. They coexist. However, when you apply the heat, what heat does is the fire separates. Okay, I'm not going to make the same mistake again. The fire separates the two. The two can no longer coexist alongside. The gold can take the heat, but the dross cannot. The valuable can take the heat and the fire, but the worthless cannot. The pure can take the heat, but the impure cannot. Now, very interesting, right? But why am I talking about this? It's not so that you become a goldsmith, really. Come on now. It's an illustration. I'm making a point. Here's the point. Did you know, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ, the risen Jesus, the risen Lord, the living hope, according to the book of 1 Peter, the living hope, Jesus Christ, He is the divine goldsmith. The divine goldsmith. He applies fire in your life, heat in mine, so that He may separate the pure from the impure. He wants to show you and me what is true, what is not so true. He wants to reveal, burn up, the things that are worthless in our lives, and also extract that which is so valuable, the gold in your life, in your faith. That's what Jesus Christ, the divine goldsmith, the refiner, that's what He wants to do for you and me. So I'm going to take you to 1 Peter chapter 4, but here's the context. It's very important for you to know why Peter wrote this letter, this epistle to the early Christians. The early Christians, they were people just like you and me, ordinary people. Most of them, all of them, in fact, are very young Christians. But they were facing persecution. For the sake of their faith, they were facing opposition and trials and fiery ordeal. Why? Simply because they followed Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. Three strikes for the persecution. Number one. Every Roman citizen, every slave, every person in Roman Empire was required to confess publicly Caesar is the Lord and the Savior. But the early Christians refused to say that. Why? Because they said, the Caesar is not my Lord. He's not my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. For that, strike number one. Strike number two, the Roman Empire was polytheistic. That is to say, they believed in many gods, many, 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 many gods. In fact, every industry had a god. For example, the entertainment industry had its own god, so that as you appease to that god, that industry would prosper. The economy had one type of god, and you worship that god, please that god, appease that god, so that you may be blessed. So every sector in the industry had its own god. And everyone is supposed to worship all the gods for the prosperity of the land. You follow what I'm saying? But Christians, the followers of Jesus, said, there's only one true God, and His name is Jesus Christ. And they refused to appease the gods of all these sectors. And for that, they were persecuted, right? But here's strike number three, the dagger. In the year 64 AD, there was a great fire in the city of Rome. Many historians, I'm talking about secular historians, they all say Nero the emperor himself set the city on fire. And he was looking for a scapegoat. And he blamed the fire on the Christians. And this fire burned for 3 straight days, 3 straight nights, and it burned down 3/4 of the entire Rome. And people were upset, mad, and furious. And Nero said, let's persecute the Christians. They are responsible for the fire. And there was a great persecution that broke out. Christians were arrested. They lost their jobs, lost their homes. They were tortured. They were flogged. They were imprisoned. And some were even executed. And many, as a result, they fled Rome. And they were scattered all over across the Roman Empire. And that's why Peter writes in chapter 1, he says, I, Peter, write to you all who? To you who? All those who are scattered across the Roman Empire because of the persecution, right? So it is in this context, Peter writes the following things, okay? Hear the word of the Lord from chapter 4, verses 12 to 19. Think of the imagery of fire. And that idea, that concept, that metaphor is reminded time after time. So hear the word of the Lord. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But to rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, write these words in your sermon outline, the theme and the goal, what I believe the Holy Spirit wants you and me to embrace and remember and live out is this truth. Jesus is purifying you into pure gold through the fire. The living hope, Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead and who is ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of God, what is He doing? He is purifying you into what? Into pure gold. How does He do it? Through the fire. Through the fire. So let's get to it. When Peter first begins his letter in chapter 1, this is what he writes, which he repeats at the very end of the letter, which we just read in chapter 4. Here's how he begins the letter and how he ends the letter in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. In all this, in all what? In all this suffering and persecution, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. There are two words here. Fiery ordeal, which we read in chapter 4, and this idea that our faith is being refined in the fire to know the genuineness of your faith, okay? That is repeated, first uttered in chapter 1, now it is repeated in chapter 4. And this is what Peter is doing. This is so, so important. Here's what's happening. The Greek word pyrosis, which in English is to purify, okay? That's all about fire. To purify means it's the refiner's fire. And that's what Jesus is doing. When you are suffering, when you are facing fiery ordeal, tribulation, persecution, all kinds of hardship, for the sake of Jesus Christ, because of your faith and commitment to Him, what's going to happen? You are being tested to see what's in your faith, what is important. Because here's the truth, friends. Let's be really honest. In you, in me, in your faith, in my faith, there are two particles, the gold and the dross, both the worthy and unworthy, both the gold and both the pure and impure. And Christ allows sufferings to occur, tribulations to come your way, so that the fire may result in proving the genuineness of your faith, because only the true things, your faith, can withstand the heat and the dross, the unworthy, the useless things. They are all burnt up. You will find out when you suffer, when you face hardship, when you are undergoing the fire, you will know what you really worship. Is it Jesus or something else, as in your career, as in relationship, as in popularity, as in money? You will really find out what is most important to you and what gets you through the fire. The true faith, genuine faith. So, once again, the theme and the goal, Jesus Christ, the divine goldsmith, what's he doing? He is purifying you into what? Pure gold. The elixir of that gold particles. How does he do it? Through the fire. So I get to share with you how we may go through the fire. Number one, expect the fire. Write this, expect the fire. Peter writes in verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Listen, he doesn't say if fiery ordeal will come. No. He says it's when we should expect it. Jesus Christ himself said this. A slave is not above the master. If I am your master, and since I suffered, you should expect suffering in your life. And when you follow me, you will face tribulation. And when you put your trust in me, and when you are the real thing, following me, committing yourself to me, the Lord and Savior of your life, and as I suffered, you shall suffer too, for the sake of righteousness. So do not be surprised, as if something strange were happening. Strange things were happening. See, this is why we have to speak the truth. Anyone who says, Well, if you love Jesus, if you put your trust in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you worship Jesus, you will be happy, you will be wealthy, and you will be healthy. That is a lie. Jesus Christ, the divine goldsmith, he guarantees in this life you will face suffering. And especially when you are committed to me, when you follow me, when you put your trust in me, and when you have this genuine true faith in me, this will cost you a fiery trial. Is any situation in which obedience and trust in Jesus will cost you something very, very, very dear. So, number one, expect it and don't be surprised by the fire. Number two, rejoice in the fire. You heard me correctly. Rejoice in the fire. Well, it's not my idea, it's God's idea. Listen, verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. What should you do when you expect the fire? When you are in the fire, you should rejoice. Now, let's be real. When you face persecution, tribulation, when you're in the fire, that's hard. That's hard. We should be real to our emotions and feelings and experiences. But we endure the fire, we face the fire, we stay in the fire because the end result is what? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. Insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that's the key operative phrase. When we suffer for the sake of Jesus, for his righteousness, and because Christ, he himself, our master, he suffered, we should participate in his suffering. And because of that, we can rejoice. Listen, Christ suffered first, and he received glorification. There was the crucifixion first, the suffering, and then there was the resurrection, the glorifying. Suffering leads to glorifying. Crucifixion leads to resurrection. So as we partake in Jesus Christ, in his suffering, we know that the glory of Jesus will be ours as well. It says so, be rejoicing and glad, because the glory of Jesus will be revealed unto you. Let's go on. Verse 14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. When you are insulted, when you are persecuted, when you face heat and you are in the fire, for the sake of Jesus, you are blessed. And Christ reminds us on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you who are persecuted, for the kingdom of God is yours. We ought to be experiencing blessedness of Jesus Christ when we suffer for his name's sake. So number one, expect it, expect the fire. Number two, rejoice in the fire. And number three, evaluate the fire. Evaluate, discern the fire. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. And if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Evaluate the source of the fire. Peter makes it very clear. And this is very, very simple for us to understand. We should not suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. We should not suffer because of our sins and wrongdoings. If we suffer because of that, that's on us. There's no glory to Christ. There's no glory to us. It's just we are reaping what we have sown, right? Now, but here's an interesting thing. When we suffer, we should suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ, for his name's sake, for his righteousness. So do not suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, or meddler. Now, that word meddler, really interesting. It's the only occurrence in the entire Bible, right here. It is never mentioned elsewhere, anywhere. It's the only place in the whole Bible that this word is mentioned. And as such, it's hard for us to really understand the meaning of the word. There's no reference. There's no context. But this is what we know. It literally means someone who puts his nose in others' businesses. Okay? So here's my understanding. Some so-called Christians, they bring suffering upon themselves unnecessarily. Case in point, let me give you one example. I've seen someone standing on the street corner with a big black leather Bible, King James Version translation, and at his mouth he was foaming, and he was saying all this thing: "You are all going to hell, and you are going to burn in hell unless you repent and believe in Jesus." Now, he was speaking the truth, but I wasn't sure about his motivation. Was he really concerned about the salvation of those people who did not know Jesus? Or I wonder, I don't know. I'm just saying, I wonder about this. Was he saying all these things, though they were true, they were truth-telling? I wonder if he was saying all these things so that he may feel righteous himself. Now, because of what he was saying, even though it was truth-telling, people ridiculed him. People said all kinds of things at him. And I'm not sure if such methodology is God-honoring or even effective in terms of leading people to Jesus. So the point is, when we suffer, we should suffer for the sake of Jesus, for his namesake, for his righteousness, not because we're doing some evil things. So number one, expect the fire. Number two, rejoice in the fire. Number three, evaluate the fire, the source of it, and entrust yourself to Jesus Christ. Entrust your soul to Jesus Christ, the divine goldsmith. Verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Remember, the fire comes to us to reveal what's in our faith, whether our faith is genuine, true. The fire separates the suffering, hardship, separate what? The gold from the dross. Okay? And as we experience that, what we should do is we entrust our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Keep doing what we're called to do, proclaim Jesus, his righteousness, and say that he is alive, that he is the living hope, and we follow his values and not the values of this world. And for that, if we may suffer, so be it. And as we suffer, as we do good, what do? We entrust our soul to a faithful Creator. That word, entrust, it's a banking terminology. It literally means to deposit something as safekeeping, something that you will get back in return one day. And what Peter is saying is this: Jesus Christ is the Creator. He created you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. And he is gracing you. He is saving you. He is blessing you. He is looking after you. And therefore, he is not only the Creator, he is a faithful Creator. And as such, he's saying, Peter is saying, entrust, deposit your soul into his care for safekeeping. And one day, he will give it back to you. a thousandfold richer, thousandfold better, thousandfold stronger, thousandfold purer. Entrust your soul to your faithful Creator. That word, entrust, this is what Jesus did. The night before his arrest, the day before the crucifixion, on the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying, 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 praying. And he said, oh Lord, Heavenly Father, remove this cup from me. Remove this cup from me. But not my will, but yours will be done. He is about to face suffering, the fire of hell. And he said, I'm going to entrust my soul into faithful hands of my Father in heaven. And as Christ hung on the cross, what does he say? He says, I entrust, I submit my soul into your care. He faced the fire. He stayed in the fire. Henry rejoiced in the fire, because in the book of Hebrews, for the joy that was set before Christ, he endured the cross. He endured the fire. He rejoiced in the fire. For what? For the joy that was set before him. And what is that joy? That's you. He thought of you while being burned in the fire. He thought of me in the fire, in the crucible. And that's why he was able to say, I entrust my soul into you. As we conclude, just a couple, two applications. Number one, first question. If you are suffering now, are you facing tribulation? Are you facing hardship? Are you facing fiery ordeal because of the sake of the name of Jesus? Or is it because of your wrongdoing? Have you been irresponsible in the areas of finances? Have you been irresponsible in the area of relationships? Have you been irresponsible in terms of your work setting? And you are facing all this hardship. Well, friends, I'm not condemning you, but that's on you. That kind of suffering, Jesus does not honor. Neither do you. Okay? So let us repent and confess our sins and be made right. But if we suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ, we can receive the promises that he's giving to us. Second application. Second application. Some of you are saying, well, you know, I don't really experience suffering. Well, I don't either, really. So therefore, we got to translate it into the cost. Is there a cost on your part because you are following Jesus Christ? Grace is a gift. It's all free gift. We did nothing to receive it. We did nothing to deserve it. But Jesus Christ, he is kind, he is gracious, he is generous, he is righteous, and he loves you. People like sinner, like you, you and me, he loves us. And therefore, he grants this gift to us. That's free. That's grace. But when you and I follow Jesus, there has to be a cost. Christ says, if anyone would come after me, let him, let her pick up a cross, deny themselves daily, and follow me daily. If I don't face experience cost in following Jesus, if there's no cost in you following Jesus Christ, you should ask yourself, am I really following Jesus? Or am I going and saying, Jesus, you be my co-pilot. I'm the pilot. You be my co-pilot. And when I need you, when I want you, when I'm desperate, I will come to you. God forbid. God forbid. Christ is worthy of our 100% devotion and commitment and our passion. So friends, let's examine ourselves. What cost is there on your part because you're following Jesus Christ? Again, if you can't name it, you should consider yourself not following Jesus at all. But if you are able to name it, thank the Lord. Your faith is becoming genuine. It's becoming a pure gold under the fire, in the fire, through the fire. Let me conclude with what happened to Peter. In chapter 5 in the book of Acts, Peter and the disciples were telling everyone, Jesus is alive, he is the Son of God, and he is our living hope. Put your trust in him, follow him. And for that, they were arrested, they were imprisoned, and they were ordered not to speak in the name of Jesus. The following day, there out of the angel of the Lord comes in the night, and miraculously, supernaturally, they are set free. And what do? They defy the orders of the authority, and they go to the temple courts and everywhere, and they say, Jesus is alive, He's the living hope, put your trust in Him, and He is the Son of God, there is hope and joy in Him. And for that, the authority arrests them, and they torture them, and they flog them. That's the word they use. They flog them. They were whipped with leather whips, at the end of which attached are metals, bones, hooks. What that meant was their flesh was brutally, brutally damaged, tortured. They were covered with blood. And this is what they said. Listen to this. They went rejoicing, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They were rejoicing. They were in pain, but they were rejoicing. They were persecuted, but they were rejoicing because they were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Doesn't that inspire you? Doesn't that move you? Doesn't that want you to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be counted worthy of suffering disgrace for your name's sake? Pray with me. Living hope, our Lord in Christ, we come to you now. We welcome the fire. We welcome the fiery ordeal. We welcome the heat, because it will test us. It will prove to us what is in us, either the pure gold or mixture of both the gold and the dross. In the name of Jesus, may we endure the suffering and the persecution. May we count the cost of following you. And may we dare say, we were suffered. We were counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the sake of your name. And may this commitment and conviction be a blessing unto all those around us, because we are sharing the living hope, the divine goldsmith, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.